Production. Recorded live.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Grace and peace, everybody. Amen. We thank God again for you all joining in with us on this morning for the Lean Conference call. We bless the Lord for you. Amen. I'm not sure if Apostle Davis is with us this morning. Amen. But we thank God for him too. Amen. For bringing all of these men and women of God together. Amen. At a time as this in the church. And I tell you, I just been so excited to be able to work with him and along with Prophetess Adira with developing the Lean Network. And this is just an awesome time in the Lord as God is getting ready to really press us forward and release us into even greater things. Amen. So certainly excited for you that all don't know me. My name is Apostle L.A. Hill. I'm the pastor and teacher of Kingdom Exousia Ministries International in Temple, Texas. Amen. And I have the honor to know and just to know him by spirit. Amen. And even by way of these conference calls. Amen. And to have the privilege to be accountable to him as well. Amen. Apostle Keith and Sadir Davis. Amen. Certainly glad to have come into contact with them. Awesome man and woman of God. Amen. And for you that have encountered their ministry, I know that you're being blessed as well. And we're just, I'm telling you, I'm bubbling because of what God is doing here. And listening to all of the feedbacks on some of the calls and the recordings. I even had a chance to sit in on some of them, but I had to be quiet because I was working. Amen. But I'm telling you guys, been doing some awesome things here, and it's certainly good to see the men and women of God really pressing into these calls. Praise God. So today I want to talk about deliverance. Amen. And I'm just going to move with the Holy Spirit to bring up some speaking points. Amen. I want y'all to really kind of jump in there because one thing that I've learned about deliverance over the years, and I've had the opportunity to be among some very well-known men and women of God that operate very strategically in deliverance, that really teach in it, that really flow in it. They have deliverance ministries, and I'll even go as far as to even attempt to share my own testimony as it relates to deliverance on today. But let me go to the scripture, and I'm just going to kind of pull it out a little bit and talk about it, and then we're just going to go ahead and begin to discuss it. As we were getting together, the title, Prophetess Adir came up with the title. I really liked it, man, How to Execute Deliverance, because that's something that we really need to begin to do as we're bombarding the enemy. One of the things that I've learned as an apostle, if you really want to invade a territory, start casting out devils. Amen. Start doing deliverance in the local region or the territory that God has already assigned you to. And you'll begin to interrupt the atmosphere as it relates to deliverance. And let's read this over in the book of Mark, chapter 7. And I'm going to read from verses 25 through 29. Again, the book of Mark, chapter 7. And I'm going to read from verses 25 through 29, where it says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him," and him being Jesus, praise God, "and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth or cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." Amen. I like the subtopics in the King James Version, because if you got one of those nice little Bibles, you'll see where it says leftovers. Amen. And in verse 29, it said, "And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." Amen. You know, there's a parallel passage over in Matthew, and it's a little bit more specific as opposed to this particular passage of scripture, as it shows some of the things that Jesus was doing as this was transpiring. And one of the things that you'll notice, it says in Matthew chapter 15, I'm going to actually read it I really feel led in my spirit to share it. Matthew chapter 15 and verses 22 through 28, it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." So somebody says it's a little choppy. Can you hear me a little bit better? Praise God. I'm going to just speak right into the phone here. Amen. I'm actually on the phone here this morning. Amen. So when we look at this, we see that there were some things that was happening. This woman, as the scripture relates, she was a Syrophoenician, a Canaanite woman of the Canaan descent. And you can imagine the distance that she came and traveled looking for deliverance. So obviously she heard something. You know, I recall back in the late 80s and even in the early 90s, deliverance began to be very popular amongst the Pentecostals. And I remember going and traveling from different churches where they were actually doing deliverance, because every ministry was not doing deliverance. And a lot of times we would find ourselves, you know, seeking after being purified or being free from a thing. And traditionally what we would do is we would go to the altar and people would lay hands on us. They would even go as far as to the rubbed olive oil on our forehead in the form of a cross and pray for us. And some of us may even receive a little jolt or two, a little fill of the Holy Spirit as we're being prayed for. But it wasn't never really enough to sustain us. And you say, how so? So I kind of want to throw out real quickly, and I'm telling you, this is really, really in my spirit. I want to kind of throw out the discussion first off on this morning on, can a Christian have a devil? Amen. Can a believer have the ability to be possessed of a devil, or can a believer actually be you really deal with a devil? Amen. So kind of throw that out there. If anybody want to jump in there and talk about it for a minute. Amen. Nobody speak up all at once. Praise God. Well, let me just kind of share my experience a little bit, then I'll talk about it a little bit. I recall back in the early or the late 80s and early 90s, one of the leaders in our area, I come from the Midwest, and one of the leaders that really began to move in the area of deliverance was Apostle John Eckhart, and there were several others along that line. Mother Boyd, out of Detroit, Michigan, used to come out a lot, and she would train the intercessors in deliverance. There was another woman of God who was very close to Mother Boyd. Her name was Dr. Mildred Harris, and they would move very powerfully in the area of deliverance. So we would oftentimes find ourselves as Christians traveling far and near wherever these leaders would show up, and try to get into those services where they were literally executing deliverance. Reason being, because through many of the teachings that many of us were gravitating to, you can actually turn on the radio at 5 a.m. and you can get a word from God in reference to deliverance, and people were trying to get delivered from all types of hurt, all types of pressures that was upon their lives, all types of bondages, whether they were sexual, whether they were drug addicted. Many people were literally flocking to these particular deliverance ministries. As a matter of fact, just as popular as the apostolic and prophetic conferences that was going forth, you will often see different revivals that were happening in the Midwest as it pertains to deliverance. So it wasn't hard as a new believer then to understand that, hey, you know, I might have given my life to Christ, but I still got some issues and I need some help. There's still some things that I'm struggling with. And as a believer, I totally believe that if you're not totally free in the sense where you're still struggling with certain addictions and certain habits, that you probably need some deliverance. As a matter of fact, over in the book of Mark, chapter 16, it tells us that these signs shall follow them that believe. And the first sign is in reference to deliverance, which is to cast out devils. And so you see that as you read the synoptic gospels, the four gospels, as you begin to study them, you find that at least 70% of Jesus' ministry was spent in deliverance. He spent a lot of time casting out devils, and people would come far and near seeking healing and deliverance. Some would even experience miracles. You think about the centurion man who came to Jesus, and he was asking Jesus to come and to heal his son. And because of his faith, Jesus sent him on his way and told him that he was healed. So, you know, we oftentimes, deliverance will come in all forms of fashion. Same thing with this young woman here that we're reading about in Matthew and Mark. So again, I kind of want to talk about that because I know it's always been a very sensitive subject in the church, and it's always been relative to those that don't normally really operate in deliverance, and some have the biggest question in their heart whether how can the Holy Ghost and the devil dwell in the same place? So again, I just want to kind of if you can kind of jump in there. And just kind of talk about it from your experience and from what you've been taught and how God has dealt with you in the area of deliverance over the years. Anybody want to kind of pick up on that this morning?
Well, hi, Apostle. This is Evangelist Shanita. And excuse my voice. You know, I've last several days been getting over this cold that I caught over the weekend traveling with the family. And I want to say that I do believe that darkness and light, especially like in the churches, you know, a lot of people that have the spirit of religion on them, they truly believe that, oh, the devil, you know, I can't be led by the devil. I'm saved, sanctified, and I'm holy. But that is not true. If you have any areas of your life that you have not surrendered to Christ, you have an open door for the demonic realm to come into your life and to rule and to reign. You give it that power and authority based off of whatever stronghold that you still possess in your life. And you know, even Peter, the devil entered Peter, and Jesus himself had to rebuke Peter. And Peter was a follower of Christ. So I do believe when you have strongholds and you're bound to certain things in your life, addictions, like you said, things like that, you just open the door for the demonic realm to come in and rule again in those areas of your life. And you need deliverance. And I believe that, I truly believe in my spirit as the Holy Spirit is showing me that you can't deliver someone if you have not been delivered. Mm-hmm. You can't show that how-to area of how to be delivered if you have not been set free yourself. Amen. There would be no power behind it, you know.
Hey, man, that's a good answer, good answer. Anybody else want to kind of pick up on that?
Well, Apostle, I can share a little bit from my experiences. Evangelist Janita used the scripture about Peter, where we do see Jesus rebuking Satan out of Peter, being as Peter was being used by him. However, You know, I think in many circles, in many churches, deliverance is something that's definitely not taught, and most unfortunately not seen very often.
Amen.
And I think that comes from, you know, as I was thinking about this, you know, in my mind, the scripture that comes to my mind is the seven sons of Sceva and them having a knowledge of those who had consecrated their lives and set their lives apart to a place that the Holy Spirit could operate freely in power through the person.
Amen.
And so I think it speaks volumes on state of the church and the state of our leadership when we don't see deliverance taking place. Now, I did personally come out of a ministry where, especially in the earlier years, and this man of God kind of moved away from it in the latter years that I was with him, but in the earlier years we did see demons cast out and such like that. And so I had experience with, being present with demons cast out. And along with, you know, of course, once I came into ministry with Apostle Keith, when I saw that you were going to minister on that, I thought this is really something that's excellent because people need to know how to execute deliverance, and people need to know where does my life need to be,
that's
in
right.
order for God to use me in deliverance. And so, so Christ gives us some instruction on us having a need for living a fasted and prayerful life. You know, and yield it to the Holy Spirit. So, so it's very good. I'm gonna let you share some more. And I don't even know if I answered the question. I can't even recall what the question was. But that
actually,
was good.
That was good. That was, good. That was really good. That was good. That was excellent. Praise God. Did anybody else want to pick up on that too? Praise God. While you both was talking, I actually went back to the scripture over in Mark chapter 7. And if you look at it beginning at verse 14, it says, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." I like how Jesus was reiterating this. It means that there was something important that he was getting ready to tell them. And verse 15 says, "There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him. Those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And this is some important stuff that he's saying to his disciples. And then verse 17 says that when he was entered into the house from the people, the disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." And so, you know, at reading this, there's some stuff that's on the inside of us. Even though when we come into the citizenship of the kingdom, we find ourselves, you know, developing what we call a kingdom life. We're trying to live saved and holy, but as we're beginning to be sanctified, it now takes on a process because there's some stuff that's in us that need to be cast out. It's some things that's been in our belly that's been festering for a long time that needs to come up. And as the Holy Spirit begins to take over us, some of that stuff begins to come up. It begins to purge. The Bible says out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. But that doesn't necessarily begin to take place until we be made whole. Come on, somebody, y'all. Y'all come on and jump in there. I saw Apostle Jackson jump on there. I told him he's going to have to help me this morning. Praise God.
Hey, amen. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Amen. Y'all, please excuse me. I just got out of a healing conversation, so I'm just jumping on the call. So I didn't get a lot of what was said, but what I will say is this. You know, just starting from this point, you know, just like I think it was Prophetess Sadira that said, you know, one of the things that is definitely key is that deliverance is taught, and not only taught but reinforced and seen in the churches, and that is what we came from, a deliverance ministry as well, and it was called, matter of fact, Greater Deliverance, and the pun of that all is now deliverance hasn't really taken forth in that church in years. And now, you know, everything in there need deliverance, even the leader that they chosen. There's a lot of whenever there is a mantle of deliverance in a place and that mantle or that mantle is gone. Now, you know, there is a sense of disrespect now that's shown, you know, where the enemy just, you know, attacks more fervently through demonic oppression where deliverance should be. And I think a lot of people that are going around claiming that they're delivered, they're set free and all this stuff, and they don't operate or they don't continuously seek deliverance. They don't continuously seek, you know, the face of God, especially in lifestyle and holiness, you know, that it opens up an access point for, you know, for almost, this is what the Lord showed me. He showed me the enemy actually using saints of God, trying to use them in the authority they should be possessing. They should be possessing as far as being saints of God. So he's actually taking what looks like light and using it for dark reasons, if that makes any sense, because there's no purification. There's no provoking of demonic opposition in the churches. So basically the enemy is using churches just to do whatever he wants to, and they have authority to act as saints. Because no one, there's no checks and balances. Deliverance is an awesome form of checks and balances in the house of God, and not only in the house of God, but that's how you know the kingdom of God is preached to you when demons are casted out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, and I think definitely that's something that we should definitely make a difference. If there's no deliverance, then the kingdom is not there. And we need to, you know, and as apostles, there's a provoking in apostles and prophets and definitely the rest of the fivefold. There's a provoking now where we need to separate what's the kingdom and what's not the kingdom.
Amen.
And if deliverance is not going forth in your church, then the kingdom of God is not there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else want to jump on that?
This is Evangelist Shanita. I just want to an experience. With Apostle and what he just said, you know, one day as the Lord has separated me from the church where I currently was, well, where I was, because I've not been back in about 2 months or so, but the last day that I went, and actually I went, but I didn't go in because I was watching the people as they walked into the building, and I noticed there were, you know, several crippled people, you know, a person in a wheelchair, and you know, people with their limbs crippled, and I was just thinking to myself, I was like, where's the power? You know, we walk in every Wednesday, every Sunday, but we walk in and walk out the very same way. Where's the laying of hands and setting people free from these demonic oppressions? I mean, where's the power? And it's like, you know, to me it just struck a chord to really try to understand the true meaning of signs, miracles, and wonders, and, you know, in these last days. And I tell you, it was just an eye-opening experience. I never really sat back and just thought about it. But as I watched the people go in, I just kept saying, where's the deliverance? Where is it? Where's the power? There is none. You know, people just don't do it. Pastors, it's just about prosperity and so many other, you know, watered-down false doctrines that lead people to believe certain things, that they can just live life without obedience or holiness. But yet the words come out of their mouth, but yet the lifestyle is so different. Like, where's the true deliverance? And so I just wanted to share that thought of what I witnessed as I saw the people walking into the church.
Can I tag on to that really quickly, what the woman of God just said? Because I'm going to be very real with you all today. And Apostle Hill, you know, begin to pray the prayer of faith for me. But can I tell you where the power is? The power is with ministries that people don't want to be a part of.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's where the power is. Just in my own ministry here, we've been, you know, we cast out demons, we prophesy, we preach the kingdom of God. Over the last, we've started the ministry here in Greenville. We've been, we just celebrated a year in February. We're moving into our second year of having an established church. I've been covering churches for the last 3 years. I pastored before, been an assistant pastor. I've traveled all over the nation preaching, you know, and all that's great. We hinge on the kingdom of God. We hinge on, our ministry hinges on holiness or hell. I teach holiness. Me and my wife is here, you know, whether or not I live holy or not, I believe I do. She can testify to the fact, I can testify to the fact she's a woman of God. We preach the kingdom of God. We have seen that you preach it, you live it. People want to go where the crowd is because the power is not in on who's getting delivered. We've had miracles happen in our church. We've had 3 miracles happen on one Sunday, 3 different miracles that the Lord said would happen prophetically. Glory to God. We've had people come in that could not walk, and they left walking. They're still walking. Matter of fact, we got a woman of God that has come into our ministry, and she had been out of church for 7 years before she came back to our ministry. She left her ministry because of church hurt. She's on dialysis, and she couldn't hardly even move when she came to the church. Well, the Lord healed her. Now she's driving, okay, which is a big deal for her. She's driving now. Now we can't even keep up with her. All right, God totally healed her. The same people that brought her to our ministry are the same people that not only decided that they didn't want to be a part of our ministry any longer because we were teaching the kingdom, because we were prophetically singing prophetically and all this stuff, talking about the tabernacle of David. The same people that took that left, that brought her to the ministry and brought other folks to the ministry, they've left the ministry now. And not only did they leave, but now they're trying to get our youth department out of our ministry because they don't want them to hear about the kingdom of God. So there is an attack. The Bible says that in the last days that they'll heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. There is a desire more to have ears tickled than to have some deliverance in people's lives.
Amen.
There is a desire more to go with the crowd versus to get in a place where it might not be comfortable for there to be some deliverance taking place in your life. There is a thing about charisma. We had an apostle come here a couple of months ago, and truth of the matter is, you know, I shouldn't have allowed him to come in, but I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. Well, he came back. He came in February, and then he came back about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And the man, because he's very charismatic, but he has no character, but he's very charismatic. He took out about 5 or 6 people out of our church on a Sunday morning. They followed him and haven't been back, and he's from Detroit, Michigan. So people will go, they'll go where there's charisma. They'll go where there is where there's something that's not provoking them to holiness. They'll go where there's no balance of the word. They'll follow after that, and they'll crave for entertainment versus deliverance in their own life. We had an awesome man of God that was playing for us. He wanted to sit under, and I'm just going to call the name because I don't necessarily care. He would rather be here. He would rather be in Danville, Virginia, playing for Kirby Brown than to be here where the kingdom of God is being preached. He would rather be where he was, where he's not playing at all, an anointed musician, versus be here where he's moving under the power of God and playing by way of the Holy Spirit, and God was increasing it. You know, there is a desire, and what we found in ministry, and y'all just bear with me here. What we found in ministry, there are people that desire demonic oppression. They desire mess so much that they're willing to sit under it. They're willing to be powerless and proclaim they have power without even tapping into the source. Now, this is the powerful thing about that. And I believe it was Prophetess Sadira again. Sadira, I'm picking on you today. But she brought up the sons of Sceva. And if you ever go back to that scripture, me and the apostle here were talking about this. The Lord did something to me. My wife was teaching, and she was teaching on the sons of Sceva. And she brought out the first part of that section of scripture where it talks about the sons of Sceva. It talked about how they were of a sect of vagabond Jews.
That's right.
And there is a vagabond spirit that has been released where people have no connection. They want power, but they have no connection to Jesus Christ or those that actually know Christ. So what they do is they reference those people. They said, Paul, I know. What they said was in the name of Jesus that Paul preached. Glory to God. They have no connection or reference to the Jesus that Paul serves, nor did they have any connection literally to Paul as a son or as daughters. So what they did was they illegally accessed a name that they had no connection to nor authority to use. And that's what's going on. We got a bunch of vagabonds that are going. They're seeking to be powerful but want to remain powerless, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. So I think that's what the big thing that is hindering the church world is there's more of a desire to be entertained than there is to be delivered.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. That's good. That's good. Anybody else want to jump on that? I sense the Spirit of God flowing here. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. That was good, Apostle Jackson. Very good. As a matter of fact, you know, even in mentioning that, you touched on some awesome points. And one of the things that we have to be cautious of is that we ourselves as leaders, we show the people that when there's some things going on in our lives that we're willing to get some deliverance to as well.
Yeah, I
think that what has happened is over the years that we've always placed the leaders, the pastors and the bishops, the apostles, we've placed them on these pedestals as if they were yet perfect and of no sin, of no flaws, of no no wrinkles in their character. But in fact, you find that there are many that need deliverance. I'll never forget when the Lord put it on my heart. He said, "Son, I want you to go and fellowship with these certain apostles." And this was some years back in the city of Gary where I grew up at. And I said, "Okay, bless the Lord." I went on ahead and fellowship, and they were actually having a men's meeting. And they said, and they were doing deliverance. They had a team of skilled deliverance workers, so to speak. And these particular men of God flowed very fluently in the gift of discerning the spirit, the word of knowledge, and even several of them were awesome praise and worship leaders. And one of the techniques that they used for deliverance was they would sit you in this chair. One of the deliverance workers would stand over you and begin to pray. And I mean, the prayer was like you can literally feel the fire of God coming out of heaven, and the angels of the Lord were being released into the room. And next thing you know, he said, "I want you to keep your eyes open. I want you to begin to exhale, just begin to breathe out." And and just from learning in deliverance, we know that demons dwell in the midst of the air. And as the worship leaders began to worship and the songs of deliverance began to play, I mean, they were playing skillfully upon the instruments, playing prophetically, singing prophetically. The anointing just began to flow, and there was just such an atmosphere of holiness and sanctification that began to flow forth. And then the men of God that really flowed well in the area of the gift of discerning the spirits and the words of knowledge, there were at least two or three of them that began to call out demonic strongholds and demonic spirits that was on each individual's life. And that was my first time experiencing that. I had been in deliverance services, and I had seen where, you know, there would be a line of people that would come forth across the altar, and then there would be even more skilled workers, and they would begin to pray, and they would begin to call out specific spirits, and before you know it, people were spitting up. They, you know, back in the day, they used to tell you to go get the towels and the buckets. Amen. Go get the towels and the buckets, because a lot of times when deliverance is taking place, there's an extraction of mucus that will come up out of you, or so on and so forth. There's crying, there's coughing, there's different types of manifestations that take place to show the form of deliverance. Amen. So what's happening here in this particular service, all of the men of God, amen, it wasn't even about titles at that moment, were coming up and were getting deliverance. And so the lead apostle, he asked me, he said, "Apostle, you want to get in on this?" I was like, "Yeah." I jumped right on in there and sat in that chair myself. And the next thing I know, as the men of God began to pray for me, I mean, there wasn't no serious manifestation that came out of me, whereas, you know, I was spitting up and foaming and beginning to manifest. But there was more so of an experience of freedom. There was a sense of where I felt literally, I felt light on my feet when it was all said and done. I felt like I literally stepped out of a cage that was already open. And I was literally walking on air. I mean, I felt different in my spirit. I felt drunk in the spirit, because literally everything that had been on me and those things that had been laying dormant on the inside of me came out as a result of that deliverance. And this kind of takes me back again into the discussion of, I guess, a little bit about how Christians can have a devil. And it wasn't necessarily something that I was possessed with, but there were some things that were still within me, amen, that needed to come out. And so I totally believe that as men and women of God, that sometimes we often, because we need each other, the Bible says to pray ye therefore for one another. I believe that there's times when we need, and I call it that chair, I call it the hot seat. and ever since then, when we had learned this, this was something that, this is a technique that we also do ourselves in our ministry, where we often would take people through deliverance that are in need of it. You may be suffering from some emotional issues. There may be some things that are going on in your home, and you may not even been able to talk about it. There may be some things that are going on in the job. Some of you find yourselves in ministry where you're ministering and you're traveling around the country, and you too may be moving in deliverance and get casting out devils. Sometimes devils have a tendency to attach themselves to us.
That's right.
They'll follow you wherever you go.
That's right.
And you already got a certain devils that are assigned to you.
Amen.
You know, they try to link up from time to time. And say, "Hey, I see Nico, one of my buddies over there. Let me go see what you doing following this man of God." Come on, somebody. So let's speak up on this a little bit more in area of deliverance, because again, it's truly one of the signs of a believer to be delivered. And even as believers, we need deliverance ourselves. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everybody. This is LaShondra. Was this prophet? Who was just speaking?
This is Apostle Hill out of Temple, Texas.
Hi, how are you? This is LaShondra. I want to say what you're saying about deliverance. It is so important that we do get delivered, and not saying that you're just this bad person and all that, because we all have some things that we need to be delivered from. And like you said, you may be out ministering, doing the crusades or whatever it is, but there's still some issues that you may need to be delivered on. And especially if you're the one of the ones that are going out to do these different services, we do have to be prayed up and careful and all that, because you never know those spirits when they come out, they got to go somewhere else. And then also, you know, if you're putting forth and doing what God has called you to do, they're going to get mad. And then, like you say, hey, they're looking at their buddies like, oh, well, what she thinks she doing now? Well, she thinks she did something. So they're going to come at you even stronger. And we have to be careful because we've got some things that we may not even know that we thought that we got delivered from. But, you know, these surfaces, they're going to come up, and if we don't kill those things from the root, it'll attach from one spirit to another. It'll feed on and just go on and on and on and on. And it may be also, you may be the one that's leading these type of services, but we have things that we need to be dealt with on our own personal level. And sometimes you can't just come out and say that, especially when you're ministering to other people. They don't need to see that. They don't need to hear that. God wants us to just put ourselves aside then and do what he has called us to do. So we do need someone else. Like you said, you sat in the hot seat. I need to sit in the hot seat too. And it's okay to do that, but it doesn't mean that there's something wrong. But deliverance is very important. We need to. We have to stay there. You got to keep checking yourself. Keep examining yourself. But I really believe that what you said, I agree with it. It's totally, I agree with it. It's just like when you go home, you get your gas, you get fooled up, and then you go out, you pour out, you pour out, you pour out. But you need someone to pour back into you.
That's right.
Amen. Because, see, the people, they don't need to see you drowning. They don't need to see you, oh, I can't do this. They don't need to see that because they're not going to trust. They're already going haywire because they have things that they're confused of and they need help. They don't need to see us leaders like that. But we are leaders, and we have things that we need to be delivered from, too. And it's okay to admit that. And I got a problem when I see leaders sitting up there, you acting like you don't have a problem. You acting like you don't know what's going on, and you can't sit up there and continue to put a mask on like that. And then when you begin to fall, the first thing that some people do is they put their mouths on you like that. But you're still human as well. And I'm not saying that to justify anything that people do, you know, when they're weak. But we get like that sometimes. And it's okay to cry out for help. But I have a problem when I see leaders pretending like everything is okay. And it's not.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'd like to interject. Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Apostle, this is Prophetess Davis, and yes. I wanted to interject. That was excellent, LaShondra, and that's very true that we don't see oftentimes a lot of leaders that are very transparent in where they are in their walk with God, because if we're still here in the earth, we should ever be progressively growing and becoming more like Christ, transformed into the image of Christ. So this should absolutely be growth. However, it does not mean there are certain things that you can grow to a point that you're not faced with, you know.
It
really just depends on, you know, what exactly it is that, you know, that is the issue, you know. If we're talking about a leader that's having trouble in sexual sin, then that's a problem. You know, that's a serious problem. But if we're talking about God growing you and God grows you likening to as you grow in a school, you know, and you may be now in fifth grade, and you may be challenged on fifth grade level, but you've got grades for one through four down. So God may be expanding your faith, and you may have believed God can pray for people and believe God for certain things, but then God is saying, now I want you to believe me on a faith level at a different level. Maybe you believe God for a car, but now God's saying, believe me for this $100,000 for this building. See, so it's different levels of, you know, progression, and of course still a leader should be willing to expose their weakness and be encouraged by one another, and that's where a place like this comes into play, lean, where you have accountability with other leaders.
Amen.
And so that becomes important. On a side note, I wanted to say that when we talk about oppression or possession, of course, we realize that there's different things. And a lot of times a Christian may be oppressed by the enemy, but not possessed. You know, when Apostle was talking about, you know, he was in the hot seat, and he said, I didn't have foaming at the mouth, and spin up, because he wasn't possessed by a demon. He may have been oppressed and have things going on that the enemy will ride you in different, maybe emotional areas or different things that cause you to experience being weighted you know, and so then you get that freedom when you get, you know, deliverance on that level. So there's definitely many levels of deliverance, and you know, even as, and I don't want to talk long, but even as I think about the scripture where I want to say the sorcerer was following Peter for a while, and for a long time it went unaddressed, and so there's timing too when it comes to deliverance. You know, you got to know that as you're saying something, you know, sometimes, you know, you can't just walk up necessarily to a bum on the street that may be full of demons and then cast the demons out and then walk away and then leave him totally vulnerable to be clobbered because he's not empowered by the word. You set him free and now the demons gonna go get more stronger ones, come on back and take him over if he's not delivered in his mind and his emotions and accepted Christ and gained the word and become strengthened by fellowship of believers. There's a lot of things that has to be considered and taken into account when you're talking about deliverance on outside, you know, versus inside the house as well. So I just want to throw those things out there.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Anybody want to jump in on that? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I like what you said, Prophetess Adair, about the differences of the deliverance too, and that brought me into another form of deliverance, even in the area of healing. I remember preaching at a church one time, and right before the bishop brought me up and literally put the microphone in my hand, one of the mothers of the church was sitting on the, and I'm telling you, I never forgot this. We even had this recorded on film. She was sitting on the left side of the building, or the left side of the church, and near the front part of the pulpit area, and she began to have a stroke. And so much commotion was going on as they brought me up. I didn't know what was going on. I'm ready to begin flowing in the spirit and moving into things of God. And next thing I know, people are running over to this side of the church trying to tend to her. And by the time I caught wind of what was happening, her face had already began to twist up. The muscles were already began to move out of alignment. And just so happened, I had with me, I had some anointed oil that was specifically for healing and deliverance that was I had on me that I brought inside of the church and that day. And as the stroke was happening, some of the other sisters in the church and the other men and women of God was praying, and I said, please let me pray for her. And I immediately anointed her with the oil, and I began to rebuke the spirit of self-rejection. The Lord said, rebuke the spirit of self-rejection. Come against the spirit of anger and deal with those two spirits right away. And a lot of sicknesses and disease are connected to demonic oppression. And immediately after I bound up that devil, and I'm telling you, it was like she was instantly healed. One of the things that are very common, and especially when you're dealing with deliverance in the Afro-American race, you'll find that people who suffer from high blood pressure and strokes and things of that nature, they deal with strong levels of fear and rejection. And especially in the area of strokes, people who have a self-pity about themselves. They're forever feeling sorry for themselves. They can't forgive themselves for something that they've done. This is really when any time a spirit becomes rooted inside of your body like that, it tends to affect your well-being. You think about some of the instances in the scripture. You think about the woman who had the issue of blood. You think about the man who suffered for 38 years and always at the same time of the year he would approach the waters and wait for a stirring. All of these particular men and women of God that we see the examples of in scripture suffered from something that demonically oppressed them or vexed them. and they needed deliverance in order to bring them into a place out of a place of defeat into a place of triumph. So we oftentimes will find ourselves having to deal with certain demonic spirits because of sicknesses and disease. You see, I remember ministering one time. I did a series for women in ministry, and we were dealing with the spirit of Jezebel. And one of the things that were connected to it was breast cancer, and even in some cases where there was even cancer in the colon, cancer in the belly, in these areas where even in where forgiveness was an issue, they had hard times forgiving people. Unforgiveness will cause cancer.
Amen. Amen.
So you have all of these particular things, and that oftentimes, even as Christians, and that's why I always say, when people come to me and say, "Well, do you believe that a Christian can have a devil?" I'm like, "Yeah. If I run into an individual that's angry all the time and get high blood pressure, or even I tell you, I'll even go even deeper. Watch this. Let me take you to the Word of God real quickly." Over in the book of Psalms, I'm going to find the scripture real quick here. I believe it's in Psalms 119. And I was ministering to my father. My father has been backslidden for almost 30 years. And a few years ago, he was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And it was really bad at one point. Now, actually, Psalms 109. It was really bad at one point. Whereas he was taking some very high power pain medication, and he was even going to the point where they would have to give him a shot in his shoulder areas, and even in some of the areas of his joints because it was so bad. And the Lord began to speak to me in the area of deliverance concerning him. As a matter of fact, it was so bad, he was about to pass out. We didn't know what was going on. I literally prayed for him while he was in the middle of working on one of our houses, and God had immediately restored him. But over in Psalms chapter 109 and verse 17, It says, "As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones." One of the things that my father did was he cursed a lot. Not only did he use four-letter words that were not conducive to holiness, but he also, you know, cussed folks out and cursed at people. And he had a real mean spirit from time to time. He could be a good man, a gentleman, but from time to time, you know, he will tell you where to get off and how far to go at when you get it. And so I had to, I began to minister to him. I said, you know, this arthritis that you have is connected to your anger. It's connected to your bitter spirit. And all of that cursing, the Bible tells us right here that the cursing is so that it will become like oil in our bones. Well, all these things that are happening, it'll literally filter on the inside of your body all the way to your bones. And so you have to, when you're dealing with people like this that desire prayer, that are seeking deliverance, you really have to study the Word of God and understand which direction to move in order for them to achieve deliverance. But then it's left up to them to walk in it, because the Bible says that when we go back and we do one thing that we just got delivered from, we got to deal with seven more of their buddies. Come on, somebody. Amen. So, amen. Anybody else want to jump in there and talk about that one for a minute in reference to healing? Because I know right now in the body of Christ, I remember listening to one of the recordings that Apostle Davis had shared, and I think we were talking about in the area of Medicaid and hospitals and whatnot, and how things are being cut in the system. We're in a time, y'all, where people literally, I mean, we already have working people that can't afford medical insurance. But can you imagine now, because so many people have been out of jobs and can't afford medical insurance, how the hospitals are filling up and all types of emergency clinics and urgent cares and free clinics are now probably at the pivotal of their businesses because they're passing out medications. And you probably see just as many Christians as unsaved people walking up into these clinics. And we're getting ready to move into a time where you won't have no other choice but to trust God.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to seek after some deliverance.
Amen.
You got an ailment in your body. You ain't going to have time to go to the doctor. You're going to have to believe God.
Amen.
The scriptures tell us, you know, I remember studying this over in the book of James some times ago. In James chapter of, let me go to that scripture, matter of fact. I'm in the wrong book. I'm in John. Amen. Hebrews and James. Amen. Praise God. Over in the book of James, chapter 5, and verse 14, it says, "Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Verse 15 says, "And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Matter of fact, if you back up to verse 13, I should have read that one first. It says, "Is any among you afflicted, let him pray." In other words, if there's an affliction in your body, if there's a sickness in your body, you have the ability to pray for yourself. Amen. I remember there was a big discussion about how often leaders should get deliverance, and some would say, hey, every 6 months, you know, you should be going through a deliverance session. And some of us was disagreeing in the sense, too, of saying, you know, I think as long as you spend time in your prayer closet, fasting and praying and seeking the face of God on your face and really touching heaven, that wasn't all that shouldn't be necessary. Why should you, and Prophet Sadir said it well, why should you keep on having to go back? At some point, you should be progressing. You shouldn't have to continue going back into the same old. At some point, you should be moving forward. Now, yeah, there's some things that we have to disconnect ourselves from, whereas we can get some deliverance in. But at some point in your life, you should be progressing and moving forward and not getting deliverance for the same old. Amen. But here in verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing songs. Verse 14 says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. In other words, you may not have the ability to pray for yourself. There are some people that are sick in their minds and they're mentally disturbed, mental illness, so to speak, and they do need the elders of the church to come and pray for them. They may be so afflicted to the point where they cannot even get out of bed. Yeah, you need somebody to come and pray for you. That's necessary. There was an apostle out of the Midwest whose wife was stricken with cancer. And I've shared this testimony before, and she was also an apostle. And it was so bad that she just missed a couple of Sundays. And so, you know, he would tell the people that she wasn't feeling well, keep her in your prayers. But the husband never told the congregation how sick she was and what was really going on. Whereas they could have been praying for her. They could have been going before the throne of God on her behalf and interceding for her. And this had went on for quite some time until people on the outside that was not even a part of the ministry began to find out, and it spilled back over into the congregation. You know, stuff like that shouldn't be. That's why the scripture tells us, again, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Praise God. Amen. So anybody else want to kind of jump in there and discuss a little bit more on this morning?
Apostle,
Go ahead, Shanita.
This is Evangelist Shanita again. I do believe that healing is so very important in the area of deliverance. I mean, to be made whole. You know, I always knew that, you know, I can never really step into the fullness of the calling. And like you said, when you first come to Christ and you've decided to make this decision to follow Christ and do the will of the Father, you know, you come with much baggage. You come with so many things that have generational iniquities, you know, unforgiveness, fornication, and living a life of porn, all these things have followed you. And so, like you said, as you continue to grow and progress and mature, those things start to come out of you, you know. And so I do believe that one has to be made whole before they can even be able to show someone even how to execute healing in their lives. You have to be healed. It has to start with you first. I absolutely believe that with all of my heart. And, you know, I want to go back to something else that you said about how a lot of sickness is tied to demonic oppression. And I truly believe that. And I know that this weekend, whenever I, you know, my family, most of my family is not saved. I'm just going to say it like that. There are many spirits of religion, you know, that are real strong in the family, people in competition to see who's going to be the most holy, you know, all these other things. And the relationship with Christ is lost. And so I know that I always have to go prepared for a battle when I get there, because they do turn against me very quickly. And so this weekend, but the Lord is taking me to such a level, because I make sure that I separate myself from them, and only certain times of the year do I go and fellowship with them. And I knew that it was going to be something, but I knew that the Lord had already done something so great that it wouldn't be like the last time, you know, where everyone's leaving angry. It wouldn't be like that if the Lord is, you know, continuously working in me. And so in the place where we were, I mean, there was so much demonic activity. I mean, there was fornication. You could tell people hugging and kissing on each other and doing all kind of lewd things, and there's no wedding rings, you know, family members getting drunk, staying at the bar, loud cussing. I mean, it was just so much. I would literally have to go to my room and just kind of spend time with the Lord and then go back out again. And because I went there perfectly fine. But after the last prayers I prayed out and got home, I literally threw up. And I just felt so sick to my stomach. But I knew it was because of the warring in the spirit. So because for the Bible says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against powers and against the worldly forces of this darkness and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So I knew it was a spiritual battle that my body took on, and therefore, you know, with all of that war, and I became sick. And so, you know, you have to rebuke it and come against it. And Apostle Keith also prayed for me. And, you know, it's just like the next day, because I was way worse than this. And then just the next day, you know, so many of the elements that I had went away. And now I'm just kind of dealing with the after effects of the healing. But again, physical, emotional healing, forgiveness. Unforgiveness brings forth so many sicknesses and disease in people's lives. And I absolutely agree with you that cancer is one of the causes of root, where you have the root of unforgiveness in your life. I absolutely believe it. And it has to be dealt with. You have to be delivered and set free.
Amen. Anybody else want to jump in there? God, praise God.
Amen, Apostle. I'll comment because I just want to backtrack just for a second. As you were in James and referencing the scripture of confessing our faults one to another that we might be healed. And this is something that has been, you know, really, you know, pressing in my spirit, even over the last several months, as I've shared in some different places, that that is a problem, that is a huge problem that we encounter, and how the enemy is given place over believers' lives, because there's not that confession. I think someone said earlier, I think it might have been LaShondra, mentioned about people having masks, you know, and people hiding behind, you know, hiding in their sin, failure, weakness, whatever the case may be. They hide, not realizing that the confessing of that thing, the releasing of that thing, actually will begin and become a fertile place for their healing.
That's right.
It actually becomes a healing place. And now, on the other hand, where we don't confess and when we hide, then we have a platform that breeds the enemy having liberty in our life that, you know, that he wouldn't have otherwise. You know, so confessing our faults one to another so that we may be healed is very essential in this time, especially if you want to stay free, because the enemy doesn't have the power unless you give it to him. You know, he has power over us that we relinquish to him. What he wants to do is trick you into giving him your power and using your power against you.
Amen, amen, amen. Mm-hmm.
So we need to definitely confess our faults one to another. You know, you should. The Bible, of course, says, you know, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. You should have people that you respect that are more mature than you, you know, or at least at peer level that you can have an accountability with and that you can feel safe to confess your faults, your weaknesses, you know, or your sin, and be able to be restored. You know, and be able to be encouraged and strengthened and delivered. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Anybody else? That was good. That was good. That's some good stuff here tonight.
I was kind of close around here just to see where it lands. But there's also definitely a need to be transparent. But in transparent, I feel Apostle Keith's mantle on me right now. In being transparent, now you have the world that's watching you. Now there's an ideological, there's an ideological. I know I just told idea. Yeah, what my wife just said. That would state from the world that you can't work for God unless you're right. Okay, unless you're just teetotally righteous, as my wife would say, teetotally. glory to God. And the reason I'm asking this is because we've encountered several people that because me and my wife are very transparent. We have really literally nothing to hide, and we try to put that forth to our leadership. What we've encountered, not necessarily dealing with us specifically, but what we've encountered in the church world here. And Christendom here in South Carolina is that there is an ability that says, though there is a one course of thought that says it's better to hide it and act like it's not there, or it's better to just completely just backslide and stop working for God. Don't be transparent. Just don't work for God if you ain't perfect. So the world is looking at us and they're going, well, I can't get with either one of you guys because, you know, it's just not realistic. What should leaders, let's start with leaders, should leaders be so transparent that every very slight issue that they deal with, should that slight issue keep them from ministering the gospel? Should they be transparent? Should they be, or should we be like, you know, I don't really care. Should we be like Eddie Long, who those of us that know Eddie Long knew Eddie Long was gay years ago? You know, so this wasn't a big surprise, those of us that know about his ministry and know him. So that wasn't a big surprise to find out those allegations. All right, now that the allegations have come out, now all of a sudden he's demonized for doing something that he's been doing for years that other people already knew, and folk that's not even in not even saved knew Eddie Long was doing. So my question is this: should a leader that is openly saying, "Listen, I have faults, I have issues," should that leader stop working for God just because they have issues that they're needing deliverance from?
That's a good one. And anybody want to get that one?
I'll jump on that. That's a good one, Apostle Jackson. The question was, if a person is dealing with a sin such as that, should they relinquish responsibility to the body?
Should they? Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be to that extent. It could be cussing, you know, or it could be, you know, gambling, or every now and then you want to go get a bottle of Cisco. You know, it could be whatever the issue is. If that person is effective in, can that person still be effective in ministry, having a point where they need deliverance in? And should they stop working because they have that point where they need deliverance at?
This is Lashondra. I don't think that, I think maybe it depends on what they were needing help with. I think that that it should be handled accordingly. I don't think that they should totally stop, but I think first you should admit and acknowledge what you need deliverance from, and then just go from there to see how you could get delivered from that, because nobody's perfect. I'm not trying to justify any sin, but the gift comes without repentance. And I mean, if you just acknowledge it, you know, there's people out there that can help, but I think it just depends on what the situation may be. That's what I would say, because we all have to work at something. And like Prophet Isidra said, that, you know, it should be a progression. It shouldn't be anything that you keep doing over and over again, but I think you should at first admit what it is that you need help with, and then we should go as leaders, come together and say, okay, well, if you got this problem right here, you need help with that, we could take it and just judge it accordingly. I don't think you should continue to just stand at it, because you got to practice what you preach also. You can't just be doing something just to be doing it, because you've got people who are lost. You have some people that are going to look at everything that a leader does, and they're going to take it to the – they're going to take it. They're going to run with it. If you mess up one time, that's it. And then there's going to be those that are going to keep saying, well, that's why I'm not coming to church, and that's why I don't talk to the preacher, and that's why this, and that's why that. I just think it should just depend on what – the situation is, and we would, as leaders, come together and judge, you know, use it accordingly, because we all have something.
Amen. Sorry about that delay on my part. I did want to respond as well, Apostle Jackson. That was good, Lashondra. In regards to that, likewise, I believe that it's not that you can't minister or lead anybody, but I think there has to be a level of accountability determine, you know, in retrospect with the level of your leadership. You know, I'm sure many of you have heard Apostle Keith talk about when he first got saved, you know, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior, and he was battling with crack cocaine. But he, in the midst of that, he didn't want his life to be meaningless. And even though he was having those, you know, do good for a week, fall back, you know, he would still witness to people Jesus Christ when he was free, you know, when he wasn't high, you know. So it doesn't mean that there is no effect of our lives, you know, it can be no effect of our lives because we have imperfections and are yet growing. However, I believe that when you get to a certain level of leadership, I think that absolutely there is a higher level of responsibility and accountability. You know, and I think that if we, again, going back to that James scripture, if we confess our faults one to another, then we can be healed. So even if in the midst of the finding a safety net, you know, I know that I've heard many leaders say that, you know, that they were aware of Bishop Long's issues and things like that. And I find it very challenging that, you know, I personally couldn't be in the midst of a leader that I know has a problem and not be working with them to remedy that problem, and maybe not be relieving them, encouraging them to release themselves from a place of leadership where they'll begin to live a lie.
Yeah.
It's not about not having any failure or having any weakness, but it's have I crossed over into a place of living a lie and I'm not now walking in truth.
Prophet Isidra, I like to say that, like with the situation with Eddie Long, the whole thing is that he doesn't admit it. He has not come out and confessed that it is true. So he's trying to hide it, therefore deceiving the people. And because they want to believe in him, as they put their trust in him, you know, they're not going to sit him down because they are believing his deception and in him saying that he didn't do it. So that's why he's not being sat down, because of the people are on his side, that are in his congregation.
Well, there's a responsibility on those who cover him and that are peer leaders that have relationship with him. There is a level of responsibility, I believe, that lies there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true, and that's right back to the word. If you read further down in James, the last two scriptures, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. Verse 20 says, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Yes, amen.
And so if as it like Prophet Sadir said, as his peer leaders, those that he's accountable to, he's in covenant with, those that know that he's covering some things up. And that's not just for Eddie Long. There are many leaders across the nation, across the world, that have been caught up in some form of folly one time or the other. And if they're not properly restoring them and dealing with the immorality that is going on in their lives and in their ministry, then they're going to be held just as more responsible as well, you know.
Yeah.
And in a level of ministry, when you encounter issues like this, because you fail to seek after deliverance, you cause reproach to come against you. And eventually there'll be others that will the woman of God said, yeah, I don't want to go to this church now. This is an issue because this man of God ain't gonna deal with his issue. So now I got an issue that I need dealt with. But how I'm gonna get my issue dealt with when this man got an issue and I can't even go get it dealt with because he got an issue. So everybody got issues rubbing up against each other. So therefore, I'm gonna keep my issue over here.
Amen. Yeah. You know, I'd like to say to you,
there got to be a stronger in the group to help the weak.
Right. And Sarah talked about the leadership, then it's the leadership's responsibility. So, but then we see because of what we know in the news, what we've read, you know, what's been said. So he's still operating. In fact, he's picking up some momentum. As if you see, he's been invited to conferences and still speaking. So what does that say about the leadership? And I'm not saying maybe not all. Maybe there have been some in silence that have maybe, you know, separated themselves away from him, but they just didn't come out public about it. But overall, the general situation of it is that when you look at the leaders, what does that say about the leaders if he's still operating? You understand? Because I know, like, T.D. Jakes is one of his fathers, his spiritual father. So, but we all know that, you know, that in that area that leader is not right. So it's like, what does that say about the leaders who are not taking these other leaders down?
But there is, and I really feel there is a sword coming down, a separation is coming down. That's separating the unrighteous out of Eden. You know, there's a flaming sword, okay? And I think this is what is clarifying this flaming sword in this season. There is a separation, and there is an acknowledgement. There is a knowledge now there's a distinct pulling of facts out of people's lives. And this is why, you know, Bishop Jackson, my bishop, that God bless his soul, he used to always tell us, live a life above reproach. You know, he said, live a life. He said, strive to live a life above reproach where no one can, especially there's certain things that shouldn't be named even among those that are that are in the fivefold or leaders at all. It's certain things, and Paul writes to Timothy and gives him a list of things, and I believe it's 1 Timothy 3, the third chapter, 1 through 7. He gives him a list of things that you need to maintain so nobody can say that you are not a follower or that you're not an acceptable leader in the body of Christ. So these issues, I think, are making a clear distinction of what is a kingdom advancing ministry and what is a kingdom de-escalating ministry, where there's a lack of the kingdom of God, where there's a lack of the true presence of God. And we got to really ask ourselves when we go into these meetings and we certain things are allowed, is it really the Holy Spirit that's provoking us? You know, and that's what I'm starting to ask myself now. Lord, how many times I've been in a place where error was in the midst, and I thought that what was moving me was the Holy Spirit, or was it something that I thought was the Holy Spirit? Did it just look like the Holy Spirit? Did it act like the Holy Spirit? This is a season, and I hate to use that word season because of some things that the Lord just showed us through scripture, but this is a time frame that we're living in where God is separating. I hate to sound like a quartet singer too. God is separating the right from the wrong, and he's really just allowing there to be a mirror on the body of Christ now, because he's pulling away his chosen. He's pulling away those that are truly here. He is, and he's making, he's bringing magnification on them. I think, honestly, that this is the season of the remnant, and that's all it is to it. This is the season of the remnant to arise. And these issues and this topic is so relevant for the body of Christ, because the body of Christ needs true deliverance. It needs a true deliverance. It needs a true relationship. And it all goes back to a relationship. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And what I took from that, Paul was actually saying, when I stop following Christ, you stop following me. And I think we got some leaders that just need to literally admit to the fact that they're no longer following Christ. They're following the checkbook. People are going to come hear certain preachers because they got scandal all around their name, you know, and that's something that the world does. The world does that. The world tries to boost ratings and all this stuff, Nielsen ratings and all this stuff. And I think that's what, you know, this is a great investment for those that are looking for money, because people ain't going to come to get a word from that man. They're going to come because he's been in the news, and they're going to come be nosy and see what he says so they can get on their phones and tell somebody else. So certain things are just done because they know they can make money from it. So why not just jump on this bandwagon and make a little bread from this? So I think that there is a pulling out of the remnant, those that are following Christ versus those that are masking Christ, you know. And it's easy to put on the Jesus mask, but it's much harder to have his blood pumping on the inside of you.
Amen.
You know. So that's just me.
Amen. Amen. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Anybody else had anything you want to jump in there and add?
I would like to say this. In conclusion with what you just said, my name is Prophetess Patricia Simpson. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. And I've been listening in on the program, and I also host a talk show for youths. It's called Youth Kong 2. I do it every Saturday, and it's to help all youths of today with things that they deal with. And listening to you, this is some of the issues that I come across on a daily basis with leadership. A lot of times people want to take on the role of leadership, but they don't want the baggage that comes with it. They don't want to deal with the issues that comes with it. And a lot of leaders, sometimes they just get into it for getting into it, not being called. And I think that is the biggest issue that we have in churches today. A lot of people are in positions where they ought not to be in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you find that they come across situations that they don't know how to deal with because they won't call. That's the big question. Who called you? Did you call yourself, or did God really call you? Because if God called you into a position to be a leader, God is going to equip you with everything that deals with leadership. First of all, he's going to cleanse you. He's going to purify you by fire. He's going to cleanse you by water. And until you have that cleansing, that purification in your body, mind, and soul, there's no way you can tell me that you could go into leadership. So if a homosexual says he's a leader, who is he leading? Who is he truly leading? Because God forbid homosexuality from way back in biblical times. So there is no way God is going to stand by a man saying, I'm a leader, but I am gay. All right? The very fact that you confess with your tongue and say that you are a gay man and you are standing in a position saying you are standing before God and it is okay, you know very well that is not okay with God. God said that he would raise people up in due time and due season.
Amen.
But if it is not lining up with the will of God, that time and that season shall come to pass whereby he shall bring them to open reproach. Now, being rebuked by the word of God. Now, God is not going to rebuke you by your words, you know. He's going to rebuke you by his words because he is the head. And it doesn't matter how long you are flourishing in preaching the gospel,
and doing wrong, it doesn't matter, because some people can do it for years, but to the end is destruction. So it doesn't matter how much money they make, how much souls they've won, or whatever. Souls being won is going to be souls being won for God's kingdom. It's not going to be won for that person and their lifestyle. But a lot of times, leaders tend to think that, okay, well, if that person is gay and they can do it, then I can do it. So they call themselves into ministry, and then they fail, and then they say, but how could a gay man make it and I didn't make it? Okay, so said, so done. God probably put a calling upon his life. But God also would ask that individual to change, not to change for self, but to change for him. Now, that's why God said that the things of this world, we have not to copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform us into a new person by changing the way we think, and then to learn God's way and to live according to his way, which is pleasing and is perfect in his sight. That is in Romans 12:2. We need to adapt ourselves to God's way and not man's way. Because when we follow man's way, we will crumble. We will come to a sudden destruction. So if we live our lives as leaders, we live our lives pleasing to God, there is no way we would fail. We cannot fail if we have God embedded in us. So that's my little input on what you were talking about.
Praise God. Amen. Anybody else along those lines this morning?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I guess the final thing I want to close with on this morning is resolution. Amen. We kind of discussed the aspects of deliverance, and we talked about the execution of his delivery and the necessary process and what areas of deliverance that we all need deliverance in. I kind of want to close on the note of a resolution of what God is going to do in these days as we move into the next seasons, the next levels of our lives and ministries for many of the local churches, some of the things that are transpiring over our nation. What do you see God doing in the area of deliverance for his church? Many things are happening. Many people are still struggling with income. People are struggling with mindsets. We still have a wide range of religious spirits where people are still arguing over doctrine and beliefs. What is it going to take for our nation, for our people, for the citizens of the kingdom to achieve deliverance in this aid of the church? Amen. Anybody want to jump in on that?
That is a very easy question. Very, very easy question. I think everybody should jump in on that because it's a very easy question to ask.
Amen.
Answer. First of all, I would say this. If at some point people tend to think that, okay, we are going through a recession and this should be a downfall for Christians, I'll tell you, you're wasting your time thinking negative like that. Because I believe this, as a Christian, as a child of God, that in time of recession, it's time for possession for God's people. This is a time that you should have more than you ever had before. Because homes, you talk about homes, people going on foreclosures, $300,000+ homes here in Indiana is now going for $10,000. All right? Now, I'm saying that is the time that you're supposed to possess. Because if God's people are wise people, as the Bible says, we ought to be wise. You ought to have some money saved up. You ought to have something put away for the rainy day. Because that's what the Bible says. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will see for itself. Now, if you're saying that you are blessed, you're highly favored, you're seasoned, and as we all say it, then you ought to know in time of recession, it's time of possession. God's people ought to have, because he says he will take everything that belongs to the enemy, everything that belongs to the people, the heathens, will be given to God's people. We are seeing this happening on a daily basis. A lot of people are throwing their hands up in the air because of a simple thing as recession. They weren't prepared for it. But God's people ought to be prepared for anything that they ought to face because we've been purified by fire. But some people want to come out before that purification takes place. So then they're bruised and they're battered and they don't understand what's going on. But God says, stay in that fire. Stay there. You would not be burned. You would not be quenched. I'm doing something in you that nobody else can do. But when you come out of that fire, you'll be shining like gold, and you don't have no reason to doubt. You don't have no reason to have this fear and be discouraged and want to commit suicide and start thinking evil thoughts. But you would have such a goodness that God has been doing in you. And if God say you are blessed, you're not blessed just for today. You're blessed for tomorrow, and you're blessed for forever. But you got to keep saying it. You got to keep claiming it. But some people out there right now, they're just claiming and not attaining. They're just
saying
stuff, but they're not attaining it. And they're not attaining it because of the negativity. All right? They're blabbing, grabbing, and they're not having. So what sense does that make? We got to be people that when we say that we believe God is going to do something, he's going to do something. God don't show up just for a little period of time, and then he say, okay, I'm going to give you a grace period. I'm not going to give you no miracles no more. Sometimes we are the ones that are blocking our own blessing. So then we cry out, oh, my God, where are you? And God has been there all this time, but, you know, we put our blinders on, and then we can't see God. You can't see God because you have your blinders on. Take your blinders off and see what God is doing. The fact that you wake up in the morning, that's a blessing. The fact that you can breathe is a blessing. But people want to see the big blessing. They want a big bang, and that's why they're crumbling now because they so much want to buy all the expensive stuff that when they can't afford it now, it's like, oh, my God, how am I going to make it? But God say that everything on this earth belongs to him in the first place. Nothing is ours. So why are we even stressing over what we have and what we don't have when God says it's going to be his? It doesn't matter. So if we focus on the things that are making us happy right now on this earth, we are so confused because the only thing that should put a smile on our face is to know that we are saved and we're going to see our maker one day soon. Because that should be what should be on our mind 24/7. Not the material things. Yes, you want to live comfortable. Yes, you want to have certain things. But would you want to have all these things and then lost your soul in the end? That's the main thing, you know. And as people, we need to spread the word to the heathens out there because a lot of people are confused. They're confused. I come across in my work, I come across million-dollar homes, people living in million-dollar homes. And they're talking so negative, like they don't have nothing. You know, they're talking like if the world is going to come to an end for them. Because you know what they're lacking? They may have all their riches, but they're lacking Jesus. Mm-hmm. If we have Jesus, we lack nothing. Once we have Jesus, we have everything. Because God says seek him first, and everything else is going to be added unto us. The country I come from, Trinidad and Tobago, there's no way that I ever grew up hearing people say they are not thankful. They always wake up and they say, thank God for waking me up today. In America, people, they walk around with a frown on their face and they say they are Christian. I don't understand that. If you're representing Christ, you ought to represent Christ, not just on the outside, on the inside, 24/7. You don't lock off being a Christian because you're in a down mode. You ought to be a Christian no matter what mode you're in. So giving God thanks is something, is a daily thing. It's a lifestyle. And until we start living that, preaching that, saying that, and being that, tasting that on the tip of our tongue, we don't know what recession is. We don't know what it is to go through struggles and hard times. Because if you have God, every trial you face, every doubt that you have would be removed, just as that mountain, that little seed of faith, it will be removed. God bless you all. I'm enjoying this.
Hey, praise God. Amen. Anybody else, amen, want to pick up on that question? Amen.
Can you repeat the question, Apostle?
In the form of deliverance for, I know I'm not going to say it the same way I said it before, but in the area of deliverance, what is it going to take to bring a resolution in our time with all that is going on around us, both in our nation and our society, and even in the local church? What resolution are we going to need through deliverance to bring us into that place where God is desiring us to be?
Amen. I believe that we have to get past the world's way. We have really got to become truly kingdom-minded and realize that this is not our home, that we came here on assignment, that we are working for the Lord. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. We're not here to heap unto ourselves things. We're here to be fishers of men. We're here to restore God's family, to bring people back into fellowship and worship with the Lord God Almighty, their Creator, and we have to work together at it. You know, we have to work together at it. We've got to realize that truly you're my brother, truly you're my sister, and we've got to unify everything we have, all our resources, everything that we have, our anointings. We have to come together for the cause of Christ. We are not going to be able to do this alone. You know, a song that has been resounding in my spirit for the last couple of months is that, I can't think of who the writer is, but it's, I need you, you need me. We're all part of God's family, and I need you to survive. I think that may be the name of it. Because really, God is trying to get us back to a place of interdependence. Not independence, not you alone, not you working alone, you're going to do it all by yourself, but truly working together. Jesus walked with the 12. He walked with them, he taught them, he was transparent with them, he was able to correct them because they walked close. The place.
Amen.
So we have got to bring the church close as leaders. We have got to bring the people of God close and walk it out together. Our power comes in us being and doing it together and operating in unity, clearly sticking to the word, clearly staying in the flow of the Holy Spirit as we'll be led by him, we'll be his sons, and then we can take the world. But we can't take the world by ourselves. We can't take it. The enemy wants to keep us divided. We've got to bring everything we have. And even as they did in the scriptures, they sold homes. The woman of God was talking about homes cheap and all of these things. All of that's wonderful and great, but what are we doing with it? Are we taking it to ourselves to say, I got four homes or I got five cars? Or are we bringing it, laying it at the apostles' feet and letting it be distributed among the people of God that we all have all things common and that we're all able to effectively continue to work the work of Christ?
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hi, Apostle. This is Evangelist Shanita. I ran across a scripture. I didn't run across it. I've read it before in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 11 through 13. And Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, you know, and he was saying to them that, you know, so many of you are quarreling amongst one another. And he said, what I meant by this is that one of you guys says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. Still, you know, another, I follow Christ. You know, it's Christ divided. And there's so many denominations, so many religions. Where's the unity? Where's the true ministry of Jesus Christ? You know, where's the true ministry of Jesus Christ? You know, everybody teaches something else on deliverance, what deliverance looks like. But if we go back to the true word of God, like you said, you know, the majority of his ministry was in deliverance. So if we go back to the true word of God, we will see how to truly be delivered. It's right in his word. But so many people have so many different beliefs and so many, you know, we're all divided. And until we become one in Christ, then I believe that it's going to be very difficult in deliverance, but I believe that it is a setup in these last days for, again, I keep going back to signs, miracles, and wonders. Like you talked about, you know, the medical situation, like with Medicare and all these things, you know, insurance, all these things that is being cut. And, you know, and so I believe it's just a setup in the last days where you mentioned that, you know, in these days that people are going to have to trust more on God than, you know, on doctors or medicine. you know, it's just getting more and more difficult to get to. And so I believe, again, it is a setup for, I keep going back to that sign, wonders, and miracles. I tell you, you know, until we unite, Jesus.
That's right. That's good. That's good.
This is LaShondra. I also believe that for us to come to total deliverance, to really operate in that, I believe that God is going to allow more exposure for the men and women of God that are in leadership. Things are going to happen where some are going to be forced to run to get delivered because of the positions that they're in. And the exposure, I just believe that it's going to be more exposure of the things that people are dealing with, and they're going to be forced. Like we were talking about the man of God and the different things that he was dealing with in Atlanta, more exposure. I just believe it's going to be more exposure, and you're going to have no choice but to either come out and just admit it or do it or come out on your own, because you got, whether you got caught or whatever it is, I just believe it's going to be more exposure. And you're going to have people are going to have no choice but to just say, okay, I can't do this anymore. I need you, God, to clean me up, to do it your way. I do need to be delivered. You know, that's what I believe. It's going to be more exposure in the body of Christ, because there's so much going on, whether it's drugs, prostitution, it's all, it's just sickness. It's just filth.
That's it. That's right. That's right.
That's absolute. Amen. I want to just interject for one moment, if I may, Apostle.
Go ahead.
LaShondra, that's so on point. The word of the Lord that came to me the end of the year, end of 2010, first of 2011, that God is doing a great filtering. He's filtering out and shaking up and causing those that are true to remain, and those that are false are going to fall off. And there's going to be great exposure of many men and women of God who are false. You're absolutely dead on with regards to that. And God is going to allow people to see that there is a true church and there's a shadow church. Which part are you going to be a part of?
All righty. Amen, amen. I see it. I mean, literally, I see people running. I see the lake of fire. I literally see people running to be delivered. People who are already saved are going to want to really check themselves and say, hey, God, I can't do this by myself. Because sometimes, you know, people think that they're doing right and you're not. It's just one of those things that God is just fed up. You know, the Bible even says there's going to be rumors or wars and things of that nature, but it's going to be complete exposure. I just really believe that it's going to be exposure. It's either you're going to get on board or you're just going to sink.
Wow. That's good. That's good. That's good. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else want to chime in on that? Praise God. Praise God. This has been an awesome topic today. I tell you, amen. And I think that we can probably discuss deliverance all day, because it is so needed in the body of Christ. Amen. And if those that are listening and if you've never experienced any form of deliverance and you might be struggling with something, I charge you to get you some deliverance today. Amen. Find you a place where they're doing deliverance at. You know, Apostle Jackson made a comment earlier. I've always cautioned people in the past, if you're at a church that don't practice deliverance on a regular basis, you need to run from that place as far as the east is from the west. I'm just going to tell you the God's truth. It's necessary. It it should be available. Just like the scripture said, you will know when the kingdom of God has come unto you when you first start casting out devils. When you will know the kingdom of God is near you. There's just no way around it. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. Amen. And so we need a demonstration of the kingdom. We always need to be able to be in a position to experience the expression and the activity of God's freedom and liberty in the church. The scripture says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty."
Hallelujah.
Amen. And we should be able to experience liberty in our lives, liberty in our homes, on our jobs, in our churches, and we should have a free flow of God's Spirit at all times. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. Praise
Amen.
God. Amen. I felt a shift while LaShondra was speaking. There was a prophetic shift, and she was really moving in it and beginning to stir the room up. Amen. And I'm going to ask Apostle Jackson to kind of pull us in. Amen. And let the Lord minister to us real quickly as we begin to close out for the morning. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Well, definitely everything that's been said definitely has been out of the heart of God. I really honestly believe that, and I really feel that. There is, as the woman of God said, great exposure that's coming. That's already here. It's not even coming. It's here. It is ready. Not only exposure just in those things which we can see, but also the reason why the earth is travailing, because the earth is in great expectation for the manifestations of the sons of God. The earth is shifting. The earth is doing what it's doing, and these great calamities that are happening to the earth is basically to reveal who the sons of God are, and it's pushing for who the sons of God are in this season. I'm looking at some things right now, just by way of the Spirit of God, and we're kind of running out to go to a meeting in our church, but I'm looking at some things that have been just discussed, and these conversations, the Lord said, are not just happening on this line, but they're happening all over the country and even internationally. There is a great desire for God, a great desire for holiness among His remnant believers, and we are those that are going to yet rise in this season. Just as the woman of God began to say, there is a great shifting in resources, and it's shifting toward the kingdom of God, and it's shifting toward the true kingdom of God. It's shifting toward those that are going to be able to be good stewards over the inheritance of God. So this is the season where those that have promise are going to begin to stand, and they're going to begin to operate in their kingdom heritage. They're going to begin to operate in their kingdom dominion like never before. The one thing that the Lord said to me, He said, I'm giving back seed to the sowers. And that first estate, that, and thank God for Jesus being our second Adam, but it's one thing that He gave. Hallelujah. It's one thing that He gave to, I'm forgetting Keith and prophesying at the same time. God is faithful. One thing that he desires for us to do is step back into our total dominion as sons of God. The one thing that he gave to Adam is the ability to set and maintain the order of the garden. And that's what the Lord has given us back. He's given us back the order of the garden. He's given us back that dominion power in the earth realm. And there are those that are going to seize it as sons of God. And those that are not seizing that authority, that character, they're going to be definitely, they're going to be highlighted in the earth. They're going to be known. The Bible says, mark those that cause any division and avoid them. And this is the season where we got to make plain and where He has to make plain who is actually for Him and who is against them. And these things are happening just to make that plain in the earth realm. So that's a hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm breathing hard. I apologize. Hallelujah. But God is faithful. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else want to jump in there?
I like to say that in order for us to have good leadership, in order for us to attain, leaders, first of all, have to have training, all right? You could be a leader and you don't have proper training. You won't understand what it is to be a leader. And, you know, the first thing we ought to know is that the hand of God, training for fivefold church leaders, you know, to know what the hand of God really means. And it says that the Apostle Tom, he touches all four of the gifts as he lays foundation for the church. Then we have the index, that's the thumb, that's the apostle is the thumb, all right? Then we have the prophet, who is the index finger, and he points out or singles out or identifies and clarifies leaders, direction in the way of the Lord as a voice of God. Then we got the evangelist, that is the middle finger. He stretches out the farthest, for the furthest, taking the gospel outside the church into places that the other fingers cannot reach. Then we have the pastor. The pastor is a ring finger, and we know how important the ring finger is because he is married to the church, and he's the primary caretaker and provider for the church and its members, and God holds him ultimately responsible for their welfare, for his sheep. all right? Then we have the teacher, which is the little finger, and he deposits God's word into the uttermost parts of the air, all right, penetrates into the heart and mind and bringing about real life change. So until they understand this, then they will know that it is not all about them, but everybody has a part to play when it comes to leadership. A church doesn't function by itself. It doesn't just function with a pastor. It takes a team of people that comes together, and everybody have their own part. Even the members have their own part to play, because if we keep targeting what the leader is doing and we of ourselves ain't doing nothing to help the problem, how can we say that we are part of something when it's either you're part of the problem or you're part of the solution? God gives us different gifts, and we ought to use our gifts according to our purpose, to the purpose of God. And sometimes we find ourselves going astray because we are not equipped with the full armor of God. And that is what we as Christians, as a body of Christ, we need to be equipped. We need to keep our armor on at all times, not only when we go in and face a little situation. When trials come, you're ready to go get your armor. You ought to already have your armor on, being prepared for what you have to face.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If somebody has their speakerphone on, if you can turn your speakerphone off for just a minute. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Amen. Good word tonight, or this afternoon, you guys. That's just awesome, awesome. Amen. And I tell you, I'm certainly glad. Amen. I'm not sure if I saw a Texas call in the chat room, someone on from Texas, but I'm not sure if Apostle Davis was able to listen in on this afternoon and this morning. But we do thank God, amen, for all of you that joined in, and such a rich word of deliverance. Amen. And we want to make sure that we implement and we take everything that was said on today and put that into our own lives as well as into our ministries toward others. Amen. We want to always be able to maintain a level of deliverance and move in it. Amen. Again, it is a sign of the believer. So truly these signs will follow them that believe. Amen. And we want to continue to implement that in every area of our lives, no matter what it is. Praise God. Amen. Did anybody else have anything they wanted to add on this morning?
Apostle, I just wanted to give a reminder. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Shanita.
No, ma'am. I'm sorry. My name is Dora. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, God bless you. Evangelist Shanita gave me the number, sent me the number this morning, and truly I bless the Lord. I was a little late getting ready to go to church today, but I do bless God. Bless the Almighty for what I heard on today, and certainly deliverance and repentance is always in order. And my grandmother used to say years ago that if ever you're in a church and ain't no deliverance going on, you don't need to be there. And I just heard the apostle minister that. Amen. And so I do thank and praise God just for what I've heard on the Sabbath morning. God is good. And I just bless God just for his deliverance. Amen. And so truly thank you all for letting me get on. Amen. And be in fellowship with the saints on this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Go ahead, Prophet Sidera. I think you were going to say something.
Pardon me. I just wanted to do a last minute announcement about the Lean meeting. Apostle was not able to be on the call this morning. He's in a training, but he wanted me to remind those leaders, yourself, I know Apostle Jackson, those leaders that are part of Lean, that the meeting is still tonight.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Anybody else?
I was just also going to say, Apostle, you did an excellent job, excellent topic, and I definitely thank God for bringing many numbers to the call. There's a lot of people that have been on the call, Some have come on and left out, but there has been a lot of traffic on the call, and there still remains a lot of people on the call. And I really pray that the word will take root in the hearts of those who are listening and who can receive and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church as he desires to bring true deliverance to his people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Bless his name.
Praise God. Praise God. Many of you also being encouraged. Amen. I hear the Lord speaking expressly to several of you in the area of deliverance, where some have not really experienced that. And I did say it earlier, where you've never really experienced that that presence of God that will come on you and really begin to break some things off of your life, and you experience that freedom. Be encouraged, because even in your time of prayer and fellowship with the Father, you'll begin to experience that, and that expression of his fellowship, whereas you begin to understand his resurrection and his suffering. God begin to deliver you and begin to release you and break those things off of your life that have kept you held back from some of the things that he has already ordered to succeed. So be encouraged. And I'm telling you, and I'm going to even be specific prophetically, but there's at least four of you that really needed to hear that word on this afternoon. Know that God is doing a great work in your life, a quick work, and everything that he's doing, some things are going to require you as well to step out on faith. The scripture says that faith without works is dead. Amen. So you're going to have to begin to move in some of the things of God, some of the things that God has already placed upon your mind and on your heart, and has already charged you yet to do that you haven't done yet. Move in that thing. Don't hesitate. Go ahead and go forth with what God has called you to do. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Praise God. Amen. Sister Patricia in Indianapolis, I'm going to have to call you a homegirl because I'm from Indiana myself. Amen.
Oh, really? Well, I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, but I moved here. It was a move of God, and I moved here to Indiana now, but I'm originally from Trinidad and Tobago. So if
Amen.
You don't understand me too good, that's why. My accent is still from my country. So I'm
Amen.
Still learning English.
Amen. I understand it perfectly well. Praise God. Amen. Would you do us the honors in praying us out on this afternoon?
Sure. That's not a problem at all.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Oh, dear God, I would like to give you praise, honor, thanks, and glory, dear Father, for all you have done and all you continue to do. Dear God, I put my future in your hands, as well as others listening in on this line right now, dear God. We all put our futures in your hands, dear God. And we ask you to give us total peace about it, dear God. We don't want to worry, dear God, and we don't want to try, dear God, to secure our future, for we know our future is already secured by you, dear Jesus, for you have great plans for us all. I want to be in the center of your plans, dear God, knowing that you have given me, dear God, everything I need to go ahead with you, dear Jesus. I pray, dear God, that you will continue working upon this ministry, dear God, where this great man of God and his family, dear God, shall be lifted up, dear God. Continue using them in a mighty way, dear God. Help them, dear God, to finish the race they have started, dear God, which is to get that prize, dear God, that reward you have stored up in heaven for them, dear Father. I know, dear God, that you would work it in them, dear God. You would work it through them, dear God. Help them to live the life that you call them to live, dear God. Let them know their purpose, dear God, is to serve you all the days of their life, dear God. Continue giving them a humble spirit, dear Father. Work in them and through them, dear God, to touch lives out there, dear Father. Many are out there listening in right now, dear God, need a breakthrough, dear God. And they are getting that time right now, dear God, and the airways, dear Father. You are bringing about a shadow spirit, dear God, which is complete turnaround, dear Father, into the lives and the hearts, dear God, of many men and women out there right now. Bring about change, dear Father. Pattern their minds, dear God, to work in your kingdom, dear Father. Pattern their hearts, dear God. Give them a heart of flesh, dear God. Take away their heart of stone, dear God, that is keeping your people, dear God, from serving you. Help them, dear God, to pour about change, dear God. Change not just in their lives, dear God, but change, dear Father, in everything, in their walk, their talk, dear God. Let it be changed for you, dear Jesus. Help them, dear God, to recognize where they have fall short, dear God, and bring about, dear God, that change, dear God, the renewing of thy mind, dear God. For, dear Father, we know, dear God, that we can all do this, dear God, for there's no God like you. And once we have you, we have everything. Help us, dear Father, to know who you are, dear God, to know that you are the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, dear Father. You are the beginning and the end. And with you in our lives, dear God, there's nothing impossible, dear God. Bring about healing, dear God, in the bodies, dear God, of those, dear God, even listening in and have ailments, dear Father. Bring about healing, dear God. Perform a miracle, dear God. Breakthroughs, dear God, in finances, dear God. Prosperity, dear God, in their homes, dear God. Prosperity in marriages, dear God. We break, dear God, and bind and loose, dear God, anything, dear God, that the enemy is setting camp, dear God, in some of these families, dear God, right now, dear God, that it shall be no more, that you shall bring about, dear God, love, unity, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the hearts of men and women out there right now. We pray, dear God, for this ministry to go forward, dear God. Go forward in such a way, dear God, that many lives shall be touched, dear God. And you, dear God, shall do it all by yourself. For you are God, a God all by yourself. And we indeed love you. And we thank you, God, for you, what you have done, what you continue to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. Amen. Thank God for you for tuning in on this afternoon and this morning. Amen. Tune back in again on next Saturday for the next lean call. I believe we're going to have Apostle Trent. Amen. It's going to be with us. Amen. We don't want to miss that. Amen. And in the absence of Apostle Davis. Amen. And then the next Saturday following, you have yours truly again, who was on the call with us today, Apostle Rodney Jackson. Amen. So don't want to miss it. Amen. Every Saturday, I tell you, it gets better and better. Amen. And if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to any of the recordings in the archive, go back and listen to each call. Every one of them are powerful and anointed, and there's a rich word from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, we love you. Amen. And we'll see you again on next time. God bless you. Amen. Tell someone else that you love them. And remember, you know, pray for one another as well. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. Y'all have a good night.